And I'm not talking about just the king's house. I'm talking about the queen's house too, right? That is a major problem with the human nature. We want to think about self. But there was someone, and yes, I love you this morning, but he loves you more than I do. And I was thinking about that this morning, how he was able to do the Father's will, just got self completely out of the way, yet he'll give his glory to none other. You remember that? But it's not a self thing. It's a selfless thing. Then the other thing I was thinking about this week, you remember last week we talked about the Bereshit prophecy that is being opened up to us in these last days that many had not seen in the Scripture. I certainly had not seen it, even though when I studied Hebrew, I understood the pictorial representations of the Hebrew letters and helped me learn the alphabet in Hebrew. You ask me to say it right now, I couldn't, however, because that's ancient history, right? Yet at the same time, I remembered as we viewed that video that someone very skilled in videography put out, that it mentioned in that video the covenant being related to Tav. That's the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Tav. It also is a representation of the cross. And when I thought about that and started thinking about it and thinking about what that video showed, the Bereshit prophecy, is that we are so near the end. And if you had opportunity to look it up, Google it and view it, one person asked me for the link, and I appreciated that. However, I did send that to several of my pastor friends, and they wrote me back. They were astonished. You see, the Scriptures are being opened up more and more as we get near the end so that we can understand them better, so that we have no excuse, really, do we? Knowing that the Lord's return is coming soon. Then in light of that, I saw in that video concerning the Bereshit prophecy that the Tav represented the cross. And underneath that, he put covenant. And I said, I remember from Isaiah 42. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 42, if you would, with me this morning. And let's look at that. Brother Percy, I'm glad to see you here, brother. Yeah, I saw you got to see Brother Guy Lee, one of my heroes. And I really love Brother Guy Lead and Sister Adele. They're really special people. And he's still preaching. Preaching funerals, marrying people. That's amazing to me. I did something last night. I mixed this up. And you know it's just food coloring with some water. But I wanted to represent this morning the blood of Christ. Do you know that in your blood you have about 20 to 30 trillion red blood cells? Jesus' blood is divine. He did not inherit, as you realize, the sin nature because he was created in the womb by the Holy Spirit. So he's entirely different. So I want you to think of that this morning. This is Jesus' blood. I think one red blood cell of Jesus' blood would be enough to cleanse us. Okay? And you know what? It's free. It's free. I'm going to give it. Brother, I'm going to give it to you. Okay? That paid for what?
My sins.
My sins. Absolutely right.
Amen.
See, that's something we sometimes forget. It's free. I just gave it to him free. You understand that? And as we near the end of this age and Jesus' return, we need to get that out. We need to not be afraid to present the gospel and the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So that brings me now to our PowerPoints. Okay, it's on. The blood of the everlasting covenant. That says that in Hebrews 13:20. And over, well, some years ago, I used to read that and think, well, that's just the blood of the animals and of Jesus. And, you know, I just really didn't think about it very much. But if you read that, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You see, Jesus, before the foundation of the world, existed, right? Amen. I mean, you know this. This is adult Sunday school class, so there's no question in your mind about that. He pre-existed, having a body made for him, as it also tells us in Hebrews. Now, if you're at Isaiah 42, let's read this together. The heading in my Bible says, the Lord's servant. Okay? So it says in verse 1, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Of course, Jesus was the apostle, as you recall, to the Jews. He was sent to the Jews. Tells you that in the book of Romans. But having been sent to the Jews, he also was sent to us, for us. Verse 2, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Years ago, when I was in South America, in Peru, as a matter of fact, I preached a message in one of the Spanish churches there concerning these very verses. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Why did he come? To seek and save the lost. That's why he came. A bruised reed shall he not break. And I just happened to go past a water hole there in Peru, and there were some cattails sticking up. So I asked them, pull over, pull over. So they pulled over, and I jumped out and took my knife and clipped off a few of those cattails. And I used those in that service that night. He didn't come to cause harm. He came to seek and save the lost. How, though? By the giving of his precious blood. You see, Christianity, I've heard this, read this, heard this. Christianity's a bloody religion. But what does the scripture say? Say, the flesh, the life of the flesh is in the blood. It was Jesus' precious blood that he gave. Don't let anybody ever tell you, oh, the blood's not important. Years ago, John MacArthur said something. He says, oh, it's not the blood, it's the death of Christ that's important. He's corrected that, incidentally, now. Recently, I heard that he step back on that. Now he says the blood, because he got such an outcry. Now that he says the blood is important. And boy, is it ever. Anyway, John's a good man. He just fought this COVID thing. You know, they tried to shut down his church. And so I respect him for that. But I didn't respect him for the thing that he said. The blood's not important. The blood is throughout Scripture. It's critically important that you understand that blood is the gift for eternal life. And we're going to review that because we're at the end times, and if there's somebody either listening by the live stream or here today that doesn't understand that, then maybe finally it'll sink in and hit home. It's so critical that you do understand that. Where's Wesley? Oh, there's Wesley. Okay. Verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And we could say a lot about that, but let's move on. Verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out. Who's the creator? Sure. He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. That's the blessing we learned in Galatians, isn't it? When we were going through Galatians, were it not for Christ on the cross that countered the curse, and the curse is the death, because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Therefore, because of what Christ did for us on the cross, being the perfect Lamb of God, He reversed the curse, the death, the wages of sin is death, by what He did. Praise God that He was willing to do that. All right, now, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Now, you say, well, listen, my servant, he's called thee and he's the creator. Yeah, a body was made for him. That was God in the flesh. That's who it's talking about that. And the Trinity called Jesus forth in the flesh in order to do what was necessary to be done. And will hold thy hand and will keep thee. Keep there again is one of those words that means protect, watch over, and guard, which the Holy Spirit did for Jesus when He was here, if you recall. Even when He was in the wilderness and being tempted, do you recall the Holy Spirit strengthened Him? The angels came and strengthened Him because He is in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. And give thee for, here it is, and give thee for what? A covenant. That's the berith. That's some of the same words in the beginning, bereshit. That has some of the same letters as that has. The prince, remember the bait represents pictorially like a hierograph. Hieroglyphics. I'll get it out in a minute. So the picture of the very first word in bait is like a house. And the second letter in Hebrew is resh, the prince. But he's out of the house. Where is the house? Heaven. Jesus came out of the house to heaven. Well, in this same word, covenant, it starts with bait. He was in the house. The prince was in the house. He came out of the house as the covenant of God. He's the promise of God. He's the covenant of God. They have an agreement between themselves and you and me, which is so incredible. It's that vertical the pastor talks about often, as well as that horizontal importance. So understand that even in the letters, we're beginning to understand more concerning the function of the Trinity. All right, let's go on. So He is the covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. And He speaks about light a lot in the Scripture, does it not? Jesus says, I am the light. You remember those seven I ams in John? I reviewed them last week with you. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. You know as well as I that before you got saved, you were in prison. I mean, you were locked up to the world. You were locked up to sin. You had no idea about who Jesus was, what the Scripture is, the perfect revelation from God. What a blessing this letter is to us. Every time I read it, and as I understand it more and better than I did a few years ago, I am overwhelmed by what it means and what it says to us. And then verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name and my glory, will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You remember we've talked about idols recently a lot. And that is the problem again with King Self. It's our idol, ourselves. We're more important than anybody, our families. And therefore our families get pushed off to the side. Our idols, our athletes, we go to football games rather than coming to church. Not you now, I'm not talking about you, but some of those that may be listening here. Me is more important. And that's what this is speaking about. Let's go on reading a little more. By the way, my glory. What does glory mean? Usually two things in the Scripture. Glory could refer to the Shekinah glory, or it could refer to the honor due to God, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. That's His glory, and He's not going to give it. His honor, He's not going to give to anyone else. That's what He was talking about in the upper room. When you feel like you're walking on holy ground, remember John 17? My glory, He says over and over again. It's His honor, His praise. He deserves the praise. And that's one thing we don't do enough in our personal lives, in our churches, is praise the Lord and be thankful for what He has done for us. Let's go on reading just a little more. Behold, the former things are come to pass, that's verse 9, in Isaiah 42, new things do I declare. And we're just, as I said, beginning to understand some of the new things that we have not understood previously. Before they spring forth, I tell you them, sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord. There it is again. See there? And declare His praise. It says it over and over and over again, and we've lost that. We've become so accustomed to the blessings of the Lord, and boy, have we been blessed in this nation particularly. And we need to stand and thank Him. Boy, for the countries I've been in, rather than the United States, you would not believe the difference in the way they live. I'm sure Brother Percy would tell you the same thing. He's been in a lot of countries too. Bars on windows, robbery, murder, incest, rape, you just name it, and it goes on. Verse 13, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. The Lord of hosts, remember, a military term. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. And it goes on. Now I want to get into that precious, precious blood. 20 to 30 trillion red blood cells in your body. About 4.5 gallons. Let's just say that, 4.2 to 4.5, depending on your size, depending on whether you're male or female. But that's about what it is. Oh, excuse me, 1.2 to 1.5 gallons. Now, I've told you that I had a patient one time, I think I told you this, the most units of blood I've ever given someone was over 40 units of blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And when that patient was bleeding to death because of alcoholism, by the way, and esophageal varices, and he had eaten a piece of toast that had slit the varices that was a result of cirrhosis and bleeding, but he was losing that precious blood. But that blood can't even begin to compare with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Just can't do it, okay? But giving that 40 units of blood, the other thing that happened, then he started bleeding everywhere else because the calcium content, because of EDTA, that's the substance in blood that we give, coagulated or chelated, we call it, the calcium in the blood. Therefore, the blood, because of the clotting mechanism, can no longer clot, so he's bleeding everywhere. It required those 40 units. Did he live? Yeah, well, he lived. He only lived because we put what we call a sink stocking pressure device down his esophagus and blew it up and sealed the blood coming out. Then finally we were able to correct the calcium deficit and get the blood, the clotting mechanisms to start working again. All that I tell you, again, hand me that precious blood, brother.
You won't give it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a gift.
That's right.
Anyway, that's a gift, brother. Yes. That is a gift. And all you have to do is accept it. That's all. Why don't you pass that around? Just let people think about it. Okay. What a precious gift that is. Now, here we go. You ready? The life is in the blood. I mentioned that in Leviticus 17:11. Read it for yourself. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Why all those sacrifices? Bleeding them out. And the priest taking his finger and dipping it, you know, and putting it here and there on the horns of the altar. And all the things they did with the blood, right? See, everybody's just giving it. That blood's going around. They're just giving it to others. Right? But there it is. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it. Whoa, look at there. Given it. To you upon the altar to make an atonement. What does atonement mean? I wonder if I went around the room and asked you, what does it mean to receive the atonement? What definition would you give me? It's the reconciliation. Make a reconciliation for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh and reconciliation for the soul. There it is. Scripture is very plain. The blood is important, not the death. You know how much blood he probably lost between the time the scourging started until he got up to Golgotha and was crucified? You know, if you lose 750 milliliters of blood, your pulse goes up over 100 immediately to 120. You go a little bit above that. You know, 750 milliliters is about 3/4 of a quart. You lose that much blood, you're starting to develop symptoms. The Lord, as a physician, I used to put on my little white coat and put a stethoscope around my neck and go and talk to the kids at the church there in Florida and tell them what Christ went through on the cross. And when they punched him with a spear, what came out? Blood and water. And I've heard them say, well, the water came out of the periosteum. That's the surrounding of the heart. No, it wasn't from that. You know why that water came out? When you are crucified, and I'm just going to cover this just a little bit and we'll move on because there's a lot I could say about that. The agony on the cross is unbelievable. But because of the position and what the diaphragm has to do, it sucks water into the lung cavity. So when the spear punched his side, the water from that congestive heart failure started coming out along with the blood. There's not enough in the pericardial sac to let them see the blood and the water, but it was from congestive heart failure hanging on that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Boy, that's penetrating, isn't it? Wow. Okay. Broken, be not discouraged. I want to give you this morning because the pastor's been preaching a lot concerning broken. A lot of people have been through some broken experiences in this church even recently. And my heart bleeds for you. But God is right there for you, whether you know that or not. But let's read this together. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. That means bewildered. Don't be bewildered for the things, the trials you're going through. Jesus talked about that often in the New Testament. That you're going to have tribulation. And we are. Bewildered, turned. And that's the threat, too. When you go through trials, you're going to turn from Christ. Where's God? He doesn't love me. We just published a book, by the way, concerning that very issue by an author and a pastor up north in Chicago. For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee. Look at that. Strengthen thee, help thee, uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Who sits at the right hand of the throne? It's Christ. Why are you saved? Because His righteousness was imputed to you. Right? Romans chapter 4. That's Christ. Okay. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh, that means near, unto them that are of a broken, that means hurt. And boy, if you've been broken, when you got saved, many of you were truly broken. Your heart was breaking. You were hurt. Deeply hurt. Why? Because of the guilt of sin. But then after you got saved, the joy that came flooding over your soul, you know that. Broken, hurt heart. And saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Let's talk about that again. Saveth those that be of a contrite spirit. That means crushed. That comes from Latin, contere, to grind. It means grind to powder. Some people have not really been contrite. They haven't had their heart ground to powder because of the guilt of sin. It's like a mortar and pestle, you know, and you're grinding things. That's how your heart needs to be. Boy, I'm running out of time already. Anyway, the sacrifices of God are a hurt spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That's what He wants. So that you will, what, repent, change your mind, metanoia, towards God, and turn in your activity 180 degrees. And again, I told you I'm going over this because we're in the last days. You know, from Bereshit prophecy, it looks like from that prophecy, and it's pretty accurate because of the sevens in the Scripture, the seven is complete. And I told you I used to think it was going to be somewhere in that 100-year generation in the Scripture. Sometime within that time, not setting a date, but somewhere around 2048, since Israel was regathered in May of 1948, so about 100 years, according to one set of generations in the Bible, would be 2048, and then you subtract the seven-year tribulation, it might be around 2041. We don't know the day or the hour, but you better know the season. You better know the signs. That great sign of the regathering, you better know it, because it's happening. So since that regathering, which is the great sign that God provided for us, we expected the rapture to come pretty soon. Though it's been imminent, not imminent, but imminent, since the early church. But now, because of all the signs and Jesus telling us, we needed to be looking and watching. Well, what are we looking and watching for? The evidence that He's coming. And from what's being revealed and opened up to us now, it looks like it's going to be sometime in the 20s. We even now begin to understand how old Adam was, right, Miss Eva? When he sinned in the garden. from the evidences that are turning up, he was probably 33.5 years of age. How old do you think Christ was when he died on the cross? So the sin brought in the world by Adam at 33.5 years of age, guess how old Christ was when he died on the cross to counter the death, the curse that started occurring in the world? 33.5. You see, 4004 B.C., let me just change that. In 4 B.C. is probably when Christ was born. And if 30 A.D., Passion Week in 30 A.D. is when Christ was crucified. Some say 30 A.D., some say 33 A.D., and there's some of my good friends, like Jack Mormon over in England, says 33 A.D. is the date. Well, arbitrarily, if you select 30 A.D. and Christ was born in 4 B.C., then that makes him about 33.5. And then going back 4,000 years from that, since God does things in sevens, 7 days of creation, yeah, we talked about those things, right? So if you go back 4,000 years, and then the 2,000 years, you remember the church age, and then the 1,000 years of the millennium, that's 7,000 years. We're about to go into the tribulation and then the millennium. Well, Adam was about 33.5, same as Jesus, 35. So God, as I told you, is precise. He doesn't monkey around. His words are precise. That's why you can trust this book. Amen. Rely on every word, every jot, every tittle. Didn't Jesus say not a jot or a tittle would disappear? Well, it hasn't. It's still here. And we're just beginning to wake up just before Christ comes back again. That's how sad all this is, but it's the truth. All right, let's go on. So a contrite heart, crushed to powder, thou will not despise. Because we are near the end of the church age dispensation, we must understand brokenness. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my Lord like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That's what this book does if you begin to read it and understand it. It'll knock King Self right out of the seat, right off his throne in a hurry. Okay, let's go. Here we go. The covenant God's servant, Matthew 12:17-18. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant. Didn't we just read about my servant? The covenant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Guess where that was? That was in Matthew, and we just read it in Isaiah. All right. So, 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Some of the new versions that you heard about change that broken. And they say it, no, broken was never there. Don't believe that garbage. It is there in the Greek, okay? And it says what the translation says, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. So they say, this is my body which is given for you. No, it was broken. It was broken Passion Week so severely. I don't know how he even began to carry that cross up to Golgotha. How much blood did he lose? I'm sure he lost more than 750 milliliters, which is where most of the symptoms begin, I told you. Wow. Anyway, John 19:34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. I told you about that. Okay, the precious blood of Jesus contains enough RBCs for every believer. You remember how many people could be in the New Jerusalem? We talked about it, 1,500 miles wide and length and height, the New Jerusalem. Millions. Matter of fact, some estimate it could even be a billion that could dwell in the New Jerusalem. Wow. Okay. Anyway, here we go. I got 5 more minutes, Pastor. Okay? All right. Water is typically blood in Scripture. Did you know that? You remember when Israel was in the wilderness and they were thirsty and Moses stepped up to the rock and he was supposed to ask for water to come out of the rock, but instead he struck it not once but twice? Who is the rock in Scripture? So, typologically, who was Moses striking twice? Jesus was struck once on the cross, not twice. Because of that, Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. How many times have you and I done something? We shouldn't be going into the promised land either. But because of the grace and mercy of God, we're going to be allowed over that Jordan River, aren't we? Praise God for that, isn't it? Wow. And here, I think Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod smote the rock twice. Remember that? And the water came out abundantly, a type of blood. You know, Jesus was whipped, what, with the cat of nine tails or whatever it was, with glass and stone and everything in it. And his blood came out. All right. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ is our rock. He's the chief cornerstone. Boy, do I want to stand on Him and His words. Right? And I want that water that comes out of that rock. That's that blood that was just passed around. That's a free gift. Boy, I'm amazed that God made that a free gift. Crucify His own Son. Okay. Got another minute. The covenant making God, the covenant is equal to my servant. Now, we went over that, I think, didn't we? Yes, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, I didn't get to a lot of this. The scarlet thread. Preached a message in Gainesville years ago about the scarlet thread in Scripture, and I'm sure Brother Percy's done the same thing. It's throughout the Scripture, the scarlet thread. What's it referring to? The blood. Rahab hung the scarlet thread out the window, and therefore she was not killed when Jericho fell down. Yeah, okay. We'll skip that. I'm running out of time. His blood redeemed us. Let me go through these right without giving you all the Scripture. The blood of Jesus bought fellowship with God. The blood of Jesus brought peace and reconciliation with God. The blood of Jesus gives power and victory to do His will, His choice for you and me. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Christ heals. The blood of Christ ransoms. And I'm going to have to stop. I'd love to go on through each Scripture with you to show you the importance of Jesus' blood that just went around. Yeah. We use a lot of typology in Scripture, but here we're at the end. We're going home soon. Really soon. Get your families ready. Get your friends ready. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. Not about me. Get keen self out of the way. Tell them about Jesus and what He did for you. Okay? Thank you for being here this morning. Brother West, would you close in prayer for us?